Bill Oram, good friend of ours, used to slum it here in Salt Lake City with us before he ended up going to the big city, now beat writer for the Lakers with The Athletic. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. Good to hear your voice. How are things out there?
You know, it's 70 degrees. The sky is perfectly blue. I haven't seen a cloud in years, really. No, I mean, it's a beautiful L.A. day that I'm enjoying from my house like every other beautiful L.A. day.
Hey, Bill, I want you to start out. I was just making fun of my brother-in-law. His name's Ken Latu, and he's a huge Lakers fan. And I always joke, I'm like, weren't you a Golden State fan like last year or 2 years ago? Or weren't you a Clippers fan? We always give him a hard time. What is the dynamic between the Clippers fans and the Lakers fans? How separated are they? How much do they sway one way or the other with the wind?
You know, my honest answer to that question, and I'm not trying to be a troll, is I don't know any Clippers fans. Like, there just aren't as many of them. You know, listen, Lakers fans are dyed in the wool. It's generational. Sorry, guys, I was getting another call. That's rude. It's generational. And, you know, Lakers fans, you know, they're not budging. But I think, you know, when you start talking about, you know, the Clippers, they're exciting. They have, you know, obviously championship aspirations with a couple of pillars. You know, people who are more casual fans, I think, absolutely have paid attention to the Clippers. And, you know, I think transplants to L.A., maybe there's a little bit more of an affection for the Clippers because they're the underdog and they're kind of the outsider, just like, you know, if you're new to L.A. and you don't have a team. But if you're from Los Angeles and you are and you used to ride with the Lakers during the Showtime era of Kobe and Shaq, you probably also rode with the Lakers during the Kendall Marshall and Nick Young days, and you're enjoying being back on top.
So the Lakers right now having to deal with the loss of Anthony Davis, and how long past All-Star break do you? And I know I'm asking you to project here a little bit. Nobody's holding you to it, but do you think he might be out a significant amount of time past All-Star break, or how do you think that's going to play out?
I think the Lakers said he was going to miss a month, and that was last week around this time. And so basically they have, you know, three more weeks of that. Fortunately, the All-Star break falls in that time. So he might miss 2 weeks after the All-Star break, assuming he sticks to schedule, you know, doesn't have a setback. But, you know, it was a pretty optimistic timeline for them, I thought. You know, I think it's telling that they even gave a timeline. Oftentimes, yeah, you'll hear, you know, range 4 to 6 weeks will be reevaluated. The Lakers didn't use any of that language. It was Frank Vogel saying, you know, he's going to be back in 4 weeks. And so that accounts for, you know, ramp-up time and kind of all their – so, I mean, I actually think that that is an indication that they think that 4 weeks is a conservative estimate. And that bodes well for how they view this injury.
Right now, the Lakers 1-4 in the last five, dealing without him and sometime without Schroeder. Is there any level of panic, or is it just, whatever, if we end up in the fourth, the third, doesn't really matter, let's just get through this. How do they feel with this current losing streak that they're on?
I think the team has been pretty well settled about it. I mean, you know, they had a four-game losing streak last year in December that started in Indiana and then Milwaukee. They lost to the Clippers on Christmas Day. And, you know, they went on and won a championship. So I don't think that they are scared of a losing streak. The thing that I would be more concerned about, and I think is in the back of everyone's mind, is overdoing it with LeBron while you're trying to compensate for AD and Schroeder. I mean, they really need Dennis Schroeder back. You can withstand a lengthy absence for AD, I think, with the way this roster is built. But you need Dennis Schroeder. You need that other scorer, and you need somebody who can, you know, alleviate some of that ball handling pressure for LeBron James. So I think if they can get Schroeder back, it obviously won't be tonight. The Lakers have already ruled him out for tonight, but he could be back Friday against Portland. I think that there's, you know, that might help turn things around. But the thing I'd be worried about is, okay, you've got a month with no AD. LeBron does it all like he is known to do, you know, spectacular player, and you know, doesn't have an All-Star break, so to speak, plays in the All-Star game in the shortest offseason, you know, in history, after the longest season in history, and now he's going to be trying to play all the way until July. Fatigue is a factor. Fatigue is real, and he's also 36 years old. So I just look at all those factors. I worry about whether him having to do so much more in this month without AD could ultimately have negative consequences on their championship aspirations.
Because of that, does this team overly concerned about where their seeding is going into the playoffs? I mean, obviously you want to be a top four seed, but is that something that's a huge concern for theirs, knowing that they just want to make sure they're playing their best basketball going into the playoffs and as healthy as possible?
No, I don't think they're concerned about it at all. You know, Kyle Kuzma, even the other night, was asked about it. You know, your old friend Kyle Kuzma was asked, and he said, listen, we all know that LeBron made the finals as a four seed his last year in Cleveland. You know, and so there's an awareness that the important thing here is health and being in rhythm, you know, by the time the playoffs arrive. And so you get AD back in, you know, mid to late March, and then you've got 2 months to build up for the postseason. I don't think they're concerned. I do think that they're aware that this is probably not the year to push for the one seed. You know, they're sliding a little bit. I think they're going to get spanked tonight by the Jazz. And so that's going to put them behind even Phoenix. You know, I mean, they will have some work to do to kind of make up a little bit of the ground that they lost during this stretch. But I think they are not particularly concerned about seeding. I don't even know if they care about being a top four seed, although I think when this all shakes out, they will be.
You know, you've had an opportunity to see LeBron James up close and personal now for some time, and then obviously watching him for many years, Bill. I'm curious to get your thoughts on his performance this year as compared to years past. At what level is he playing, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, the context matters, and the context of everything I just talked about, you know, last year and the offseason. And, you know, I think he's playing at an MVP level. And, you know, it's maybe not quite – I think last year maybe he was playing a little bit better. You know, he was certainly – you know, the numbers were higher. He led the league in assists. He was playing – he was more defensively locked in. I think this year his defensive intensity has wandered a little bit. But, I mean, there's no question. I mean, he is playing – well enough to win his fifth MVP award. I just don't think I think this month is probably going to derail those plans just because the Lakers are losing and you're seeing other great performances throughout the league, including right there in Salt Lake. And I just think that the narrative momentum that LeBron had towards the MVP this year is going to stall with the team losing. And, you know, basically, you know, if he can't get this team to win against the Wizards, you know, but Stephen Curry is, they also lost to the Wizards, so bad example, but Steph Curry is winning games with that team. You know, why would you give an edge to LeBron? So, you know, I think he is, you know, he's just a freak of nature, for lack of a better term. I mean, the fact that he's doing this at 36 years old and, you know, is still getting to his spots on the floor and is still coming up so big for this team is really, truly remarkable. I mean, we all kind of sit around and wait for the decline, the visible, obvious decline in his game, and it hasn't happened yet. And he just signed a contract extension that's going to keep him with the Lakers for 2 more years beyond this one. So to me, it's just, you know, has been a, you know, in so many ways, this is one of his most impressive seasons just because of all that it comes with and the fact that he's still playing, like, you know, he's 10 years younger than he is.
So kind of a random question here, but, you know, we see him come into town a couple times a year and, for those that travel with the Jazz, obviously not this year, but, you know, you see LeBron a couple times down in L.A. as well. But you're with this team, and again, maybe not traveling as much as in years past, but when you're around this team and you're around the circus that is around LeBron James, how oppressive is the life that LeBron leaves? I mean, obviously we'd all probably love to be in those shoes, but I can't imagine how difficult life is in a weird way to be LeBron James and to have the oppressiveness of that day in and day out.
I don't know, guys. I mean, like, LeBron goes home after every game. He drinks one or two bottles of red wine. He's got a big house. He's got a few of them. He's going to star in a movie. He is an amazing philanthropist. He's got kids. He's got great kids. You know, I get what you're saying because he is one of the most, in-demand human beings on Earth. People want, everyone wants a piece of LeBron in one way or another. And, you know, he's not just a basketball player, you know, and I'm not trying to be his hype man here. I mean, obviously, you know, his slogan is more than an athlete, but he is so diversified in the things that he does and he commits his time to, and he handles it really impressively. I mean, the fact that he can be you know, if you talk to him post game, you know, he can go from talking about the third quarter breakdown in their pick and roll coverage to the next question being about the education system, the public education system in Ohio, and he is just as well versed in that, and you know, open to talking about his efforts raise up members of his community in Akron. So he's an impressive individual who, I've enjoyed about being around LeBron for the last 2.5 years, and obviously not in person this year, but still, you know, connecting on Zoom and stuff like that, is, you know, he still has that level of being kind of a real dude. He's a very approachable, very accessible, accommodating superstar, especially when you're talking about, you know, at that level. I covered Kobe at the end of his career, they've both been great to cover in different ways, but Kobe had more of there was just more of a wall around Kobe. I feel like LeBron, you know, he sits back and he's one of the guys in the locker room, you know, just as much as Quinn Cook was before he got waived today. So, I mean, it's, you know, I've enjoyed being around LeBron and kind of seeing up close exactly what you're talking about, because you think you put, you know, some of these stars up on a pedestal, and a lot of these guys put themselves on that pedestal and act above it all. And LeBron, you know, I mean, LeBron has been just, I mean, I don't know. He's committed to what he's committed to. His interests are what his interests are, but he's a very complex person in a good way. And I've enjoyed being around him.
What was he banging on you the other day about your mustache? What was that?
Yeah, LeBron, I was doing the Zoom from home, so I was mask free, and LeBron just broke out laughing and said that my mustache, which has been my pandemic signature, was I had a whole Burt Reynolds thing going on. Is how he put it.
Yeah, that's
so now
right.
I am forever now the Burt Reynolds of NBA media. And then the bigger problem, by the way, is that now I can't shave this stupid thing because it's now
with you now. Yeah,
I've been
you.
In LA for 8 years. It took me 8 years to get a trademark, and it's fuzz on my upper lip.
Hey, Bill, really quick before we let you go, I was playing this video game on it's on the Xbox. It's called NBA 2K, I think, and you can play with all like the old players. And what they'll do is they'll take like teams and they'll take all the greatest players from that team's history. Well, my son struggles to beat me in this game, so he picks the all-time Lakers. And all of a sudden, they come on the court, and he's dishing it down to Shaquille, and Jerry West is knocking down from the outside, and Kareem Abdul is killing me on the post, and, you know, you've got Magic Johnson who's destroying me. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, it's two parts for you, Bill, and I want you to answer this for me. Number one, who is the greatest Laker of all time? And number two, who is the most beloved Laker of all time?
I think I have the same answer for both, and I think it's Kobe. Magic could be the greatest. They both have 5 rings. Magic's career was, of course, cut short. But the fact that Kobe played for 20 years here, that he never left, that he won championships in 2 eras with, you know, 2 different co-headliners, and then just everything he represented. I mean, you know, with his, you know, his perseverance through injury at the end of his career, and obviously kind of the way he went out. I think all of that creates an aura around Kobe. And I would have said the same. I think before he passed away. I think just because of how committed he was. You know, once you step away from it and look back at those 20 years to being a Laker, Magic could be the answer for either of those questions, though, too. I mean, he is the most, you know, he is Mr. Los Angeles. I mean, he is probably, he and Kobe are 1A and 1B in terms of being most synonymous with the Lakers. And, you know, I don't know if, in terms of being beloved, if Magic's, you know, Q rating, if you will, has taken a bit of a beating from, you know, his tenure as president of basketball operations, but he did get LeBron James here. So there's that. I think you could slot either one of those. This is maybe a cop-out. You could slot either one of those two guys in for either answer, but if you were asking me, based on my perspective, I think you know, Kobe doing it for 20 years makes him the greatest, and because he's the greatest, I think that makes him the most beloved. But it's a really tough call.
Well, Bill, always good to catch up with you, man. Appreciate it. Miss you here in Salt Lake City, and look forward to catching him again here soon.
Thanks, Bill.
I'll be back one day. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I'm sure. Bill Orem right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.